It doesn't take a genius to see there's something wrong with our world. I mean, I guess on the surface things look pretty good. We live in an age of wealth and prosperity, of innovation and exploration. Our day-to-day lives are pretty peaceful. Sure, we've had our share of questionable leaders in the past, but the current guy is better than anybody we've had in the last 30 years or so. I mean, who'd want to go back to living under King Ahaz? Do you remember what it was like when he ruled Judah? He was a king who didn't walk in the way of the Lord, if there ever was one. There were shrines going up to Baal everywhere. There were pagan sacrifices in the temple. There was even talk that he made his sons pass through fire, like the you-know-whos. We're lucky Hezekiah survived and managed to inherit the throne. Talk about chalk and cheese. He's nothing like his father. I mean, I know he's only been ruler for a little while, but you can tell Hezekiah's a man after God's own heart. He's working to clean up the streets of Jerusalem, to restore right worship to the land. And outside the city, things haven't been going too badly. The Assyrians have been quiet for a while. I mean, I hear there was some trouble a little while ago, but Hezekiah managed to negotiate our way out of it. So yeah, I guess you could say life's pretty peaceful. And despite all this talk about budget crises, the economy seems to be booming. There's never been more money flowing through the streets of Jerusalem. The papers are saying that we're living in the most affluent time since the reign of King Solomon. I mean, and it's not just the papers saying this, all the priests and the prophets around are proclaiming peace, assuring us that God's favour rests upon us, saying that Jerusalem is the most livable city in the world and that God will never let it fall. So you might think I'm crazy for saying there's something wrong with our world. But see, I've been spending some time listening to that prophet Micah. In fact, it feels like I'm living with him. No, actually, it's not that Micah, it's the Micah from Moresheth. It's that little country village out near the coast. Now, I know what you might be thinking, how could a country bumpkin know about what's really going on in the world? But Micah's been around for a while. He's been a prophet since before Hezekiah, before Ahaz. He's been around since at least the time that Jotham was on the throne. And there's something about him that's different. He's not like any of the other priests or prophets. It's almost like he's filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord. He's not out there preaching peace and prosperity like the others, which probably explains why he doesn't get invited to all the cool parties. Instead, he's out there saying that God has sent him to declare to Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sins. It's no wonder that everyone's saying to him, "Do not preach. You should not preach of these things." But I've been listening to Micah for a while, and I'm beginning to wonder if maybe he's right. If perhaps God, the kingdom isn't as healthy as everyone else has been saying. Mark has been saying this isn't a problem that's just skin deep, but that we're rotten to the core. He's been saying that God's kingdom isn't perfect and prosperous and peaceful, but that it's become corrupt and defiled. Mark has been saying this prosperity, this economic boom that we're enjoying, has come at a cost. That the rich are getting richer, all right, but it's at the expense of the poor. It's not really a budget crisis, he's been saying, but a moral one. He's been reminding us that God gave us the promised land as a gift. That God commanded that those with land should use it to care for the poor, the widows, the orphans, and the aliens. But instead, he's been pointing out that those with power have begun taking the land away from its traditional owners, cheating people out of their homes, using violence to drive them off their God-given land. Mike has been saying we're not entering an age of prosperity, but of unprecedented selfishness and greed, of materialism. Sound familiar? And even if people wanted to complain, who'd listen? Those in power just seem to turn a blind eye. The authorities just look for their pound of flesh from people and don't care about right or wrong. They're only interested in what they can get out of it. It's no secret around here that if you want a judgment to go in your favour, you've just got to grease the right wheels. Who hasn't heard of Judge Judy? In her court, the cases are real, the people are real, but the rulings go to the highest bidder. And she's not the only one. All the judges are like that. And it's not just the judges. The other priests and prophets teach for a price. And the prophets give oracles for money. They're only saying what people want them to want to hear. Their message is, everything is awesome. I can't get that song out of my head. It's no wonder that church, I mean the temple, is full. Attendance has never been so high. People love to listen to preachers like that who don't call them out on anything but just affirm the status quo. But Mike is not like that. I've never once heard him say, everything is awesome. Instead, he's been saying the opposite. He's been saying the faithful have left the land. There's no one left who's upright. While everyone else has been saying life is roses, Mike has been saying it's nothing but a pile of thorns. God's plan had been for his kingdom, our kingdom, to be a light to the nations. But Micah says we've made it a pit of darkness, that we've defiled it. Micah could just as much be a prophet for our day as for the 8th century. As we read the book of Micah, we could almost respond in the same way as somebody who originally read it or heard him speak. If we look at our world today, we might say that not much has changed. That the evils Micah spoke against, the corruption and perversion of justice, the exploitation of the weak at the hands, the weak and the poor at the hands of the rich and powerful, the veneer of religion and pretense that people went through in their lives are just as prevalent today as they were then. That God's world, the world that he created good, God's kingdom and God's church are no stranger to corruption and evil and wickedness. If not much has changed since Micah's day, it's easy to ask then, where has God been in all this? What has God been doing? How can God allow this to happen? What's God going to do about it? Well, the good news is that Micah doesn't just point out what's wrong with our world. He gives an answer to those questions. An answer that we can use to comfort ourselves and to speak to those who ask the questions of us. The good news is that God sees and knows what's been going on. God isn't ignorant of what's been happening. He's seen all the wickedness and violence that takes place. That's how he could send Micah to speak against it. More than that, in the start of Micah, in chapter 1, verse 2, we read, "Hear, you peoples, all of you. Listen, O earth and all that is in it, and let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple." God stands ready, God is ready to be a witness, an expert witness against evil and corruption, against even his own people. For God knows what has been going on. God's not ignorant. He's fully aware of how defiled and corrupted the world and his kingdom have become. That's the first thing we can say when we ask these questions and when other people ask them of us. God's not ignorant of what's been going on. God sees and God knows. But more than that, Micah tells us that God cares. His concern is evident throughout the book. He cares for all his people, for the poor and the oppressed. We can see how God's heart was torn with anguish at what was happening in Israel and Judah in Micah's day. Just as much as we can be assured that God's heart is torn with anguish at what happens in our world today. God cares about what's been going on. He's not heartless. God sees and God cares. But more than that, God doesn't just sit on the sidelines. He's not a bleeding heart in the sky. God sees, God cares, and God will act. God is coming out of his holy place. He's ready to come down and tread upon the high places of the earth, we read in chapter 1. He's coming to bring judgment and justice, so that those who scheme evil will have an evil fate ahead of them. Those who use dishonest scales will find themselves weighed on God's scales and found wanting. Those who take the lands of other people, who steal their inheritance, will find that God takes their inheritance away from them. Those who deafen themselves to cries for justice will find that God is deaf to their cries for help. Those who prophesy peace and say that everything is awesome won't see the calamity that is about to come. This is good news. So that when people ask, what is God going to do about it? How could God let this happen? The answer Micah gives is, he won't. He won't let it go on forever. God sees, God cares, and God will act in judgment. God won't let evil go unchecked. God has a plan to bring judgment and justice, the judgment and justice that people deserve. That's all good news, but it's also bad news. For the people in Micah's day thought everything was awesome, that they could do whatever they wanted. They thought that God would spare them because they were his people and they lived in his city. But Micah tells us that that's not the case. God saw even the wicked thoughts that were in their heads and their dreams of evil and violence and was ready to bring judgment against them for it. God knows the wicked thoughts of our hearts, the dreams we have upon our pillows. God cares about the world and about those we might hurt with our words and actions. God's seen the evil and defilement that's inside each and every one of us, and he will come to judge. And we can't kid ourselves that just because we come to church every week, or just because we try to do more good than bad, that we'll be okay. That's what the people in Micah's day were saying. But it's just not the case. God will no more spare us just because we come to church regularly than he would spare the people in Micah's day just because they lived in Jerusalem. So what hope do we have then? How can we escape the judgment that we know we deserve? It's by putting our trust in God, by confessing our sins to him and seeking his mercy and forgiveness. For the only one who can rescue us from God's just justice is God himself. He's the only one who can cleanse us when we've become defiled. We'll see this more next week when we look at how God has worked, how God promises through Micah to restore his kingdom, to rebuild and renew his people. But the good news is God sees, God cares, and God has acted in sending his Son to die in our place, to take the judgment that we all deserve upon himself. God's done this so that we can become clean. When we look at the evil in the world around us, when we ask, where is God and how can he let this happen? If we read through Micah, we see that God knows. God cares and God will act. When we see the evil and wickedness that lives inside of us, we know too that God sees, God cares, and God has acted in sending his Son. Let's pray now that God will indeed forgive us and strengthen us to live for him. I invite you now to take a moment to think and pause about, to reflect on your life. And then we're going to pray together a prayer of confession, bringing to God all the things that we've done to defile ourselves and our world, and to seek his forgiveness upon us.